Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up, and take it away. Take it away.
I don't know, man. This is just insane. My, it's going up again.
Well, Dan, you got to make a decision. Do we do a show?
Trying to figure out what's doing it. It seems to be the ice cast. Because like my lag is right back up there again.
Hey. Shut back up, then it's obviously not the mirrors.
Pat, you're really, really low.
I think it's just my shitty bandwidth.
No, your bandwidth doesn't make you loud, man. The Bob makes you loud.
Oh, you said loud. How's this? Is that a little better?
Loud. No.
How about now? A little better?
Still loud.
I'm bringing it all the way down, man. How about now?
Still pretty loud.
Okay, I'm bringing it down.
Hey, Dan, did you restart your server over there?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because your SMT isn't working.
I know, I stopped email, I stopped the web, I stopped MySQL, I stopped everything.
Killed it all.
And now I'm going to stop the Icecast server. I mean, I'm going to stop the stream going to BinRev. And I've got such a huge ping here going. It's terrible. It's like a huge lag. And I'm not sure, I'm not seeing what's causing it.
You know, like use TCP or something like that and check out and see where your traffic's going.
I'm looking at that. I mean, it got a lot of IRC, but... usually that doesn't do it. All right, here we go.
Look, do I still sound distorted?
Loud.
I try this one more time. All right, I'm back on BinRev now.
Okay.
You guys still there?
I'm still here.
I mean, it's manageable. I mean, it's not as bad. I don't know. For some reason, the moment I start up a stream out the BinRev or any kind of stream, it just sucks my bandwidth right to hell. Which it never really did that before. Am I lagging for you guys?
You sound fine.
I don't think the lagging.
All right. Pat.
Yeah. What's out there?
You know what? I think I'm just going to call these guys and we'll just be done with it. Now I got to figure out where their numbers are. I got it. Okay.
You got them? Well, one's a Skype connection. The other one's a phone.
And I'm going to start with Max. Is Link still here? No, he dropped off.
I think he dropped off.
See, this is the monster lag.
I think Max is in England.
See, I'm trying to call him, and I think it's because of the huge lag. It's supposedly ringing on his end. Max is the one that's in a.
I think Max is in the UK. Ian is stateside, I think.
All right, dude, I'm so freaking hungry. Let's see if I can call him.
No dinner, Dan?
No, I was hoping to get my dinner in before the show started, but...
I guess not.
Hello, Ian. Ian.
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me okay? Should probably take that as a no. You can't hear me, can you?
It's pretty brutal, man. Wow.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe I got a card going flaky or something.
It's a possibility.
Well. Ian. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Am I cutting in and out for you?
Yeah, you are.
Pat, why don't you talk?
How do I sound, Ian? Do I sound okay? A little better than Dan?
Oh, you're choppy, but I can understand you, I guess.
Yeah, we got a really serious lag going on, too.
We're not, it's not restarted yet.
You know what we could do? We could send you questions of the RC and say them, and if you don't hear them, you don't know what the question is.
You know what? Why don't we just...
So, Dan, did you start the show?
I'm not starting anything. I'm just go. I mean, what's the point now? It's already... I'll add it in post-production. It's already 9:15. I mean, something is destroying the connection.
Okay. Do you want to get these guys on first or no? Should we just start from some questions?
No, go.
Ian.
If he can hear you better than he can hear me, then go right ahead and talk with Ian. And I'll sit here and watch everything go to hell.
Okay. Okay. Well, Ian, welcome to the show. I mean, we're having some issues tonight. But I guess we'll start shooting some questions your way about the Amaroth project. So how many people are on the Amaroth project?
Hello?
I've been able to get Max in here also. How you doing, Max?
Great. Hey, good things.
Not good things. It's been horrible over here.
We've lost Ian.
And I apologize for that. But Pat, can you hear Max?
Well, he's choppy. I mean, I can hear him, but it's a little choppy.
All right. Why don't you go ahead?
I think Ian. I can't hear Ian anymore, though. Okay, well, welcome to the show, Max. Ian, if you're still there, welcome again. I guess we'll start with how large of a programming team do you have, Max, on the Amaroth project?
How many people do we have on our development team? You're quite choppy. It sounds like you're speaking through a fan.
Yeah, he was. His question was, how many people are on the Amaroth project?
Currently. We must have at least 10 of us now. Over the last year or so, we've picked up 7 or 8 new people. It used to just be 3 of us. And, yeah, it's all good, really. Code comes in quite quickly. And we get new features out of there still.
So
it's surprising. I always thought that with more people, it would be, you know, difficult.
So now, are people like you know, kind of working on separate aspects of the project, or is it you know, everybody kind of working on their own and then bringing it all back together?
Yeah, everyone works on their own bit, really. A few people was hello. Yeah, a few people know the code really well, and they work on different bits. I used to know the code pretty well, but I'm not so actively involved in development anymore, so it's I look at nowadays and I'm not sure. I can see my bits that I used to do, but Marky, he knows pretty much all of it still, I imagine, so he could go in there and fix anything. But most people get involved, they just decide to do something new, they get an itch maybe, and then we welcome them into the project, and they start working on something, and then they get to know a bit, something else. But the code is too big now. No one knows it all very well. No one can work on all of it.
So now, what do you actually do with the Amaroth project?
Now, you guys had your development.
What do you actually do with the Amaroth project now?
Me particularly, or
yeah. I'm sorry, Max. Headed. Yes.
Recently, I've been working on getting it working with Xbox Live. I mean, the Xbox 360 Media Center, so you can stream to it. But otherwise, I haven't worked on it for quite a while, really. I was active at K3M. I got a job. That was the problem, you see.
That'll do it, then.
But I used to work on... I made the Xena... Sorry?
I said that'll do it, getting a job.
I used to work on the Zine engine. Yeah, totally. Used to be a student, so I pretty much failed my degree almost, thanks to AMROC. Although I think I learned a lot more through AMROC than I did on my degree. But, yeah, I built the Zine engine, which is now the default engine, much to my happiness. And I did all the visualization framework. I used to be the maintainer for the playlist code, which is like 5,000 lines now. It's absolutely crazy, and I feel responsible. I feel I should apologize to everyone who has to work on it.
So you wrote the Zine engine?
Future, really, I'm more interested in AMROC 2 myself. Yeah.
So what's going to be the big difference between AMROC and AMROC 2?
And I also wrote the A-code engine, but... I think we all want a lot of things. And I wonder how many we'll be able to get done. We're kind of holding off actually starting it. Like our original plan was when we met at the multimedia meeting in Amsterdam, was to get on with it, just do a few bug fix releases for AMROC 1.4 series, and start doing 2, which would be at first. Looking at all the complex bits of code and making them just smaller so we could start doing more things with it. But we seem to be reluctant. I think the size of the code base is scaring us a little, and we're just still adding new features to the 1.4 series. Two of our people in the group actually started porting it to Qt 4, and we have a branch. But I anticipate a change around of the interface. I don't know if you saw at K3M, we started posting some screenshots of how we moved the context browser to a more central place. Did you see that at all?
No, I didn't take a look at that yet. But I'm sure a lot of our listeners have.
It's like Musically Works at Last FM, and if you've seen the new Last FM player, that he did it himself, I think it's great. And it takes some of the good bits of AMROC and it makes them more central. So the context section is essentially what is the Last FM player. And it's interesting how I interact with that, because I found that because the things like the wiki section is central, you end up finding out a lot more about all the artists you listen to. I'm clicking that wiki link all the time. Well, with the current AMROC, I hardly ever click it, I got to say, like only once in a while. And so we want to put that sort of information at the forefront rather than like the playlist. We want to put the playlist further into the background, because really once you've constructed a playlist, you're not really interested in it anymore. You just want to listen to your music. So we want to bring services to the front, things that we can get from Last FM, other things we can get from the internet, just information about your music, giving you... and more suggestions about what you want to listen to next, building up a better repertoire of what sort of things you like. We want to do that sort of thing with AMROC 2. Take what we've done with the 1 series, and frankly, all our good features that have come along, like the context browser, which was Musely's idea. It was just a completely random idea he had one day. And my first response when he put it in was, blimey, what is this thing? And Marky wasn't too sure either. And this is back when it was just me, Marky, and Musely, really, who developed AMROC. But we let it stay. Musely just kept adding stuff to it. And it's become like the distinctive feature for AMROC, and the essential feature, and the best feature. And so, yeah, the AMROC 1 series is like that the whole time, really. And now we've got this idea of what AMROC is. We want to build on that for version 2 and take all the good stuff, make it better, obviously, more central and key to the product. I noticed that a lot of players nowadays are copying various bits of AMROC's functionality, which is fine. I'm all for that, really. But it would be nice to stay ahead, and so that's what we've got to do with AMROC 2, think of some new ideas. I don't think we've had a good idea since the wiki tab was introduced in 1.3.
Yeah, I've played around with AMROC, and it's a very, very, you know, for what it for what its goal is, it does a fantastic job. Although I find it a little heavier of a client than I typically like to use for just playing music. What's your reaction to that? As you put more features into Amarok, it gets bigger and a little more heavier, and all of a sudden it becomes more than just a music player, so to speak. If I'm not mistaken, now it doesn't have the capability of pulling down podcasts through RSS aggregation.
Yeah, it has that. Indeed. It doesn't have video, though, which I think is important, and we get asked for video all the time, but we've refused. We are determined to stay music-orientated and go no further. You can absolutely ruin a product when you start making it by default do all these other things. So people can make plugins for sure, but if you start putting other features in which are not related to the core functionality of the product, you also have to modify the interface. And when you start going down that route, you end up with a product which people look at, not know how to use, not want to use. And it takes away some of the power of the brand, because it's not a specialized product anymore. But with regard to it being a bit of a bloated, large music player, I completely agree with you, and it's always been a focus for me to try and remove bloat and try and keep the memory consumption down. Often, much to the annoyance of some of the other developers, seeing as I get in the way and try and stop certain things happening. But I think I was an important influence on the development in that respect, trying to keep some features out which I didn't think were appropriate. At least someone was saying, maybe we should think about this. And nowadays, I think it's too big myself, and that would certainly be one of my priorities for Amarok 2, would be to try and figure out where the size is. Like, I've done proper memory analysis of the consumption of it in the past, and the top doesn't give you a good result at all. The top gives you something like 35 megabytes or something, and that's just including all the other shared libraries that we pull in, because we link to so many different things, like KHTML, Kaio, Qt, of course, and loads of different imaging stuff, and all the different engines, etc. It just adds up. Like, the actual memory usage was something like 6 meg when I last did it. That's just for the dynamic allocated stuff. The code's like 2 meg as well, so it's not as bad as some people think. But then startup time is too slow, really. But we're always trying to make startup time less. It's always a thing for us. Like, at K3M, we cut it down by 50%, which was quite astonishing, really. And other times in the past, we managed to slash it. But it always seems to creep up. It's just inevitable, it seems, when we have such a fast development cycle, and the features just come in. And we don't always keep the features, I'd like to say. We do cut it down. We take away things. Like, just recently, we got rid of Mood Bar, because we didn't think it was really adding much value. And it was a lot of code, and it was very intrusive. And we lost the maintainer, too.
Well, you had mentioned about people wanting to have video integrated into Amarok, and it would seem... And it's interesting to hear that you're kind of against it, but yet at the same time, you develop Zine. And it would seem almost an easy thing for you to do, to integrate video into Amarok.
Oh, sorry, I think you misunderstood me. I don't develop Zine. I just develop the glue which allows Amarok to use Zine.
Oh, you developed the glue. Okay.
Yeah.
But then, is this with, you know, the same thing there? You would be the one, if somebody was going to be able to get video working in Amarok, that seems like it would be right up your alley right there.
Oh, yeah. I developed a small video player for KDE called Codeine. To fill that gap, really, because people were asking for video in Amarok, and I felt that I just offer them this very small night solution, which just plays video and only has 3 buttons in the toolbar. But there is an argument for having video in Amarok, and that's music videos, obviously. Not many people have music videos, though, really. Like, I have 3 or 4, perhaps, on my computer, which I've got off CDs and things. So there isn't much of a pressure for us to do that. But yeah, you could add that And I think the important thing is just not to become a general purpose media solution. That's something like caffeine is, for instance. We want to be specialized for just music. Yeah, and then, yeah, and to answer your question, it is very easy to do. It would be literally maybe 100 lines of code to add very basic video support.
Now, Amarok has always had a tie, so to speak, with the KDE desktop. Do you see that link there continuing, or do you see Amarok as being able to kind of move out more as a environment agnostic media player, or I should say music player, because that's what his focus is, and be able to integrate easily with GNOME or XFCE or anything else?
Yeah, definitely. When I joined the project version 0.6, and back then it was definitely a KDE player, but over the years we've been very happy to add proper integration. Like, we integrate into GNOME very well, as far as we're aware. Like, none of us uses it as our default desktop, so we're not entirely certain, but the user feedback we get suggests that we do, and we're happy to integrate into all the desktops. So really, we're pushing away from KDE in that respect. We're more interested in being desktop agnostic, as you say, and taking away the emphasis on the K part. We're happy for anyone to use it. It's great if they do. In fact, we're definitely pushing for Windows. I'm personally pushing for Windows perhaps more than the rest, because I have to work on Windows at work, and I want to use Amarok at work.
Okay. Now, since it is, like I said, a lot of ties with KDE, we're hearing the up-and-coming Plasma API for KDE, or the Plasma for KDE, and that's going to have an integrated audio framework in there, kind of similar to, or maybe on the lines of what GStreamer's working towards, and they're ditching Arts. Is Amarok going to fit right into that framework?
Yeah. For KDE, the default audio solution is Phonon, it's called, for the audio.
That's right.
Backend. And it's actually a pretty impressive framework. I was dubious when I first heard about it, because I was thinking, well, we're just making another abstraction layer, and is it necessary? But having seen Matthias's presentation on it at the multimedia meeting, it's got some features which Windows Vista won't have, like the ability to have different categories of audio on the desktop, like music or plain audio, or like Skype can be its own category, and then you can control the volumes of the different categories. So like when you get a Skype call coming in, KDE will automatically reduce the volume of your music, or even mute it. But you can just change the volumes of all the music applications independently of other categories of applications. And Vista's only got the ability to change the audio volumes of each application individually, but it doesn't have this category idea.
Hey, Pat.
Sorry?
What's up?
Not to break out of this discussion right here, but I think I found what the problem was, and hopefully you should start to sound a little better now, and you can
okay.
ask questions. And I would assume, Max, you can hear Pat now.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And there's not as much
does
of
sound a bit better.
And there's no lag.
Doesn't seem to have any.
And
it sounds much better, Dan.
Yeah. Do you want to know what it was?
Tell us.
It wasn't even the server. It was the Astris box.
Really?
Yes, it was. So I killed that, and everything's a lot better. Should I try and get Ian back in here? Now that things are running
a little
better?
Yeah. Give it a shot, man.
I apologize, Max, for all that. It's so weird. This is the first time this has ever really happened like this to us, and it was just odd.
No problem. I'd have a bit of caffeinated stuff to keep me out late.
There you go. Oh, see, look at that. We can actually hear the ringing now.
Ian.
Hello? Yeah, can you hear me now, Ian? A little better?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I think we got all our problems solved. Only like an hour and a half later, but
sorry.
Yeah. And with that, Pat, go ahead and ask some questions.
Okay. I guess going forward, what are the main goals of the AmRock project?
Well, just to provide like a good user experience. I mean, I think like whenever I think of a feature or you know, we get bug reports, people wanting this or that. You guys got to think, what is a user who's maybe new to AmRock, or maybe even our long-time users, what are they going to, are they even maybe going to use this feature, or is it going to be, so it's about providing, you know, just doing, you know, like with any software, it's about solving problems. So that's what we're trying to do.
Has there been a big push for integration with iPods?
Oh, what?
Yeah. Integration with iPods.
What?
iPods.
Oh, iPods. Oh, yeah, we got there's good integration with iPods, I believe.
Yeah, there's always been a big push for it because most of us have iPods and everyone else in the world seems to have them as well. Our integration is pretty good at the moment. I'm not sure, to be honest, nowadays, because I just hardly use my iPod anymore. So, as far as I know, it's good. It's not as good as iTunes, though, of course. Will we ever be as good as iTunes? Perhaps.
Well, and we also support many other devices, too. We've been getting... like just this week, we've been working on getting the that new Microsoft protocol support. Someone submitted a patch, and it's probably going to go in.
What devices is that for?
It's like all the new devices that aren't iPod, pretty much as far as I can tell.
Oh, well, the Plays for Sure stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Plays for Sure, as long as you're on Windows.
Well, hopefully not anymore. You know.
Yeah.
Also, in more recent versions, you guys have a podcast aggregator. Has there been a lot of demand for that?
What about the podcast aggregator?
I have a lot of people been asking for that.
Well, I use the podcast aggregator all the time. I have like 20 podcast feeds.
But I don't know if there's been a lot of demand. Presumably. I think it's more of a future thing. It's like RSS feeds in general. Like, I use RSS feeds and podcasts galore. Like my girlfriends, you know, I've been trying to get her to use RSS feeds, just RSS feeds, let alone podcasts, for like a year. She's just not interested. And I think, like, you know, most people in the world, you know, it's like getting them onto the internet. I was on the internet 6 years before everyone else was. But I don't think the demand is there yet because people just aren't used to this new idea.
They don't know what it is and what it's for.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the people who do podcasts don't know what it's for yet either. Like, some of them really, you know, I hardly listen to them. But they're getting better, certainly.
Now, one of the things I tried using the podcast aggregator, I noticed that it seemed to take the whole URL as the file name.
Yeah, you need to upgrade, man.
That's changed since what, version 1.4?
That is in 1.4.0, 1.4.1, I think. What was happening was, it was like really kind of hard to get what the actual file name was, so we actually like wrote a new class to do the downloading at a more fundamental level than what KDE provided. So we can get the actual... Because so many podcasts have redirects.
Now, you guys get together every so often. You just had your developer conference not too long ago, right?
What'd you say?
Your developer conference. You just had it recently, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. It was in the end of May.
Now, what were some of the big issues that you guys discussed?
It was AmRock 2.
Yeah, AmRock 2.0. There's a lot of... I mean, we were kind of going through some, like, we need, I think Max was talking about earlier, like our plan is to redesign some of the like core of Amarok to be more object oriented, and then basically
It's object oriented. It's just they're bloody huge objects.
Yeah.
Ridiculous amounts of code. And so much duplication and stuff as well. I suppose like the database code isn't really object orientated and stuff.
Right.
But it'd be good. Once we have a better core, there'll be so many less bugs all the time. And I think it will do loads for our stability. We tend to get our stability up after releases because we have this great backtrace system which emails us whenever you have a crash. And it's a normal email. You just push the send button. But otherwise, I think we have stability problems a lot of the time. I think other people will say that too.
Yeah, and actually, there's been a lot of work on that just within the last few weeks. Working on most of our stability problems come from threading, and you can't really pass a string from one thread to another without causing lots of problems.
I'm thinking of Q4.
Yeah, a lot of that
would be solved
for free in
Qt4. has that been a big challenge, integrating Qt4 into the new version?
We haven't upgraded to Qt4 yet, but at the multimedia meeting, Gabor and a couple of others ported it, and they didn't have much trouble. And I've been programming stuff in Qt4 commercially for a year now, and it's not that different, so I don't think that's going to be the problem. More likely, the problem will be waiting for KDE Libs to catch up, and the tendency to want to rewrite everything will be the biggest problem. I think it's very tempting as a programmer to sit there and just try and rewrite it.
Does Qt4 give you a little more performance boost, or is it more for new features?
Supposedly, it's faster, and. I haven't done anything test-wise to suggest otherwise. I worry a little that the double buffering that Qt4 does by default slows some bits of it down. I had a discussion with some Trolltech people actually in Cambridge when they did this meeting, and they were adamant this isn't the case. But yeah, I wonder. Because like list views and things don't feel as fast in Qt4 to me as they do in Qt3, which goes against what the Trolltech people have been saying. But I think overall it is going to be a faster. Yeah.
One thing I'm looking forward to in KDE4 is Solid, which is another one of those new backend systems that KDE is making. It should make it right now that there's something called Media Manager, which is basically what notifies us when a new device is connected. Solid sounds like it'll be a lot more stable system for doing that. We can't even rely that Media Manager is running. KDE 3.3 doesn't have it, so we have to code around that too. It'll have like a database of different devices and their profiles, so we'll be able to know if a device plugged in is in fact an MP3 player or not. That sort of thing.
And it can do all that as well. That's pretty good.
Does that make it difficult?
Well, is this all in theory, or have they actually got something working yet?
I think there is some code. There's at least an API for it or something.
Does it make
it's not as long as the multimedia framework, though, I don't think.
Does it make it difficult to keep up with the changes, like moving from Qt3 to Qt4, different versions of KDE, and be able to put out a product that's going to work on a lot of different distributions? Which may not have moved to those specific versions of the developmental libraries. Does it make it difficult to keep up?
We don't know yet, but I can imagine it's going to be hard, yeah. Because distros will be much further ahead. Go on.
Okay. Yeah, like we've kept up with, we've kept support for KDE 3.3 for a long time. And... obviously, with 4, we're going to have to break support for backwards. But, it's just, there should be a lot of really big improvements to KDE that we get just for free from Qt4. I think, we should really try to get Amarok out as fast as we can after the KDE 4 launch.
Mm.
And just we're just going to have to... we might still have some stable releases of just bug fix releases for KDE 3, but...
Well, that was the plan we made at the meeting.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be going that way yet.
Yeah.
Like we never set anything particularly in stone for how things are going to happen, because it often doesn't happen that way. Our development's very flimsy, I suppose, in that respect. It's not a good word to use.
We are always getting
spontaneous. That's a better word.
Yeah, spontaneous. we have this new system called the Dynamic Collections that lets you plug in your USB hard drive, and AmRock will recognize that hard drive and not have to rescan it. And that was coded by actually another Max, and he just joined the team just a few months ago, and made some pretty big changes to the core of AmRock. We have development like that, the kind of fast-paced development.
That's why we get stability problems, really. But we do fix them when you get up to the 0.9 release type versions. But we like it like that because it makes us an interesting product. If you look at some of the other media players in Linux, I think they move a lot more slowly.
It seems like AmRock has gotten a lot of momentum lately, the last year or so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, well, it has for a while, actually, probably since version 1, but no one knew about us back then. 1.2 was the big hit release, when just suddenly everyone started finding out about us, and we appeared in dozens of magazines suddenly. If anything, I think development slowed down since then, probably because our code just increased so much in that release.
Well, I don't know about that. Sometimes I, open up my email, and we have so many commits sometimes.
but in terms of exciting features, I don't know.
Oh, well, I would agree with that. A lot of our new features, like dynamic collections, you don't even,
everything's more of an incremental, it's like the product's maturing. I think we're just waiting for version 2.
Yeah, it's true, too. But
now, do you guys try to time your releases whenever a new version of KDE comes out, or are you guys on your own schedule?
We're on our own schedule. Like I said, we keep compatibility with KDE 3.3.
Yeah, exactly. We like being outside of KDE's release schedule. It suits us. Because, we never know exactly when we're going to feel like a release. We seem to get a release every 6 months or so. I noticed that the releases are being scheduled and planned quite properly now, actually.
The release schedule KDE is too slow. We like to get the the user feedback pretty quickly. We have 20 users or so who probably follow SVN or follow what we're developing as we develop it. But it's really good to get the kind of into the broader audience to see release betas. We just released a beta this Sunday, and to see what more users think about new features, or if there's with so much stuff with multimedia, if there's going to be a problem just for one person because they have some sort of weird setup on their computer. So it's important to get lots of testing.
Oh, problems with Ubuntu users.
Yeah, I heard about those problems.
Because they don't have any MP3 support or anything. We actually have proper support now for them in the Zine engine, at least, which tells them, oh, by the way, your distribution doesn't support this, but you can download it here. Because before, it would just error out.
And that's a good question. You were talking about not wanting to support video formats. What are you guys' opinions on supporting non-free media audio codec formats, WMV, WMA, Apple's AAC, and DRM technology?
Well, Well, from one point of view, it's not really our problem because we just, you know, plug into audio engines and they support the actual codecs. But we also do add support for various, the tagging, like you can import your M4A files and we'll support the tags for them. So I guess really we don't really care so much about being pure and such like.
Yeah. No, I think philosophically we all don't really mind about non-free stuff. If it's good, then that's good enough. But as Ian says, we don't have to worry about that sort of thing. One of the best things about Amarok is that we don't actually do any of the difficult stuff. We're the glue between a million different difficult, more complicated bits of software that do the audio processing and the audio output, provide us with interesting services, etc. And because of that, we just have to develop a useful interface to all those things. It allows us to concentrate on less things and produce a better product.
It's still really frustrating for us, though, that distributions will distribute audio engines with the MP3 support taken out because of some sort of supposed software patent issue.
It's very annoying. We did, like, possibly, certainly used to be at certain points in time, one of the biggest support problems we had, just telling people where to go to get MP3 codecs. And people coming along and saying, Amarok doesn't play MP3s, how crap is that? And like, of course, it's not really anything to do with us, it's all down to the distribution. Like, obviously, we can do things to help, like what we've done now is show the message dialogue, which says, well, you can go and download it here. But it's sometimes difficult to detect that, which is why we don't always have it. But we try. We want it to be as user-friendly as possible.
Right.
Now, do you try and detect that based upon the distribution?
It reflects very poorly in Amarok. If something like that doesn't work for you.
Right, do you try to detect that by distribution?
I don't think we have any distro-specific detection, like, because...
No, for that to work, the distribution actually has to add a .desktop file to the package.
Oh.
There really isn't any way to detect what distribution you're running on, if we tried.
Well, even then, it wouldn't matter, because... Say you're running Arch, and Arch comes with all the MP3 codecs and stuff. If you accidentally deleted the MP3 codec, it's essentially the same as Ubuntu, so you might as well show the same error message. So it's better to detect it in an agnostic way, if you can.
Right.
Right.
So what Ian was talking about is that we allow the distribution to actually customize the error message that's shown, so that if it is a specific error to their package, they can give an error message which... also gives them the URL to get the MP3 stuff from, or some information.
So, when you give them that information, you basically send them to the liblame source code, or the project page, or do you actually send them to, like, tell them to look into their distributions?
Well, I think Kubuntu is the only one. Ubuntu is the only one that actually supports it, and they just, I assume, like, run the apt-get command or whatever to install. Ubuntu is kind of weird. They actually do provide easily the sources for MP3 support. You just have to run the right commands, cast the magic spell, and it works. So it just does that.
I just downloaded the new version of Amarok, and I tried the podcast aggregator, and it works very nicely.
Great.
Yeah, pleased to hear it.
No more ugly URLs in the file names.
And that...
Yeah,
it'll.
Well, at least I am. I'm a big aesthetics person. I like it all to look pretty.
In addition to that, when you're playing albums, it'll go out and get the album cover and CDDB information. And doesn't it also do lyrics?
Yep.
Right. Lyrics.
Killer feature. Dubiously legality in some places, but
yeah, because I heard
it's just too useful. It's too nice.
I hear that.
I love being able to sing along to the songs.
I hear that's coming under fire there. Be able to get the lyrics like that.
Yeah, well, exactly. The music industry doesn't like it. They have their reasons, I'm sure. But because it's pluggable, we'll probably be able to just change the URL quite easily if sites go down.
It all uses Ruby scripting, so that if a site changes its format or whatever, you don't have to release a new version of Amarok to fix it.
So now all you
ultimately,
all you need to do now is just have a feature that'll remove the voice track, and you can have a little karaoke machine there.
Yeah, in fact, didn't someone like the plugin to remove the voice? I thought I saw that on KD Apps.
What's that dance video game where you can dance? You need to
Dance Revolution.
Yeah, you need a plugin for that now.
That'd be awesome.
Our hero plugin.
I love that game. I look like an idiot, but I love it.
So, is Amarok have a lot of plugins for it then?
They're not really plugins; they're scripts.
Scripts. Okay.
That use the KDE Decomp interface. Yeah.
Yeah, and I see.
You can script them in any language you want.
And yeah, it does. That's a surprising number, actually. Considering, I never thought it would catch on quite as well as it did. People love it because you don't have to. You can use your own scripting language, and you don't have to compile anything as a result. And it's all external to Amarok, so it's easy to start and do. And yeah, there's loads out there doing all sorts of different things. I can't say I use very many myself. I'm a bit of a minimalist.
Now I see there's some scripts in here to transfer files right over to your portable media device. Did anybody write a script yet to do the?
Yeah, that's from.
What's that?
Well, that was from the era of when we didn't have generic media device support. Now we do, so we don't really need to use that script. You can just use the normal media device tab.
Oh, and you work more. I guess that works with devices that mount as USB mass storage devices. Or does it support other devices like some of the iAudios and, iPods?
Well, if they mount as generic directories, it's just moving files to a directory.
Right.
Is all the generic media device does.
Oh, okay. So you guys don't have support for iPods or some of the iRivers, which aren't USB devices?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, you have
there's the iPod media device, and I think iRivers use like the NJB library or something weird, and we support that too.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's to support everything. We have no prejudice.
And now Amarok, I recall listening on another podcast, and I think it was a lot of Linux Links who said in Ubuntu and Dapper there was a feature of being able to connect to a remote or play music off of network shares, specifically Samba shares. The Amarok allows you to do that, but I guess it was Dapper that broke that.
No. We used to support the KDE I/O system, which had a lot of problems because it doesn't really support seeking, which that's something that's going to be fixed in KDE 4. But we've since taken that out since because of that, and it was just generally buggy.
Oh, okay.
So we don't really support any extra protocols beyond what Zine
but
or.
If you mount the Samba share on your file system, if you mount it like properly, whatever. That works fine. Anything which is on the file system works fine. And if you remove it, it's okay now as well. That's been fixed.
So
it will come back the next time you load up Amarok.
It's part of the dynamic collection.
So what you're saying then, in KDE 4, when that comes out in the new versions of Amarok, you'll be able to use the Kyo Slave, whatever you can connect to, like if you wanted to use SSH through the Kyo Slaves to a remote system, Amarok would be able to play music off of that.
yeah. It was actually always very fun when you could do that. So yeah, I either wait for Amarok 2 or downgrade to Amarok 1.1. But we had to remove it. It was just too buggy. It's too difficult to use, and stability issues, all sorts, really. Yeah. So I was always going to do it for the Zine engine as well, Zine Zine, whatever you call it, because it was for the GStreamer one that worked, but because we removed it, never got around to it.
Right.
Now, you saying you removed the GStreamer?
The one thing we figured out was you only use one media engine at a time.
Uh-huh.
No, we're not going to remove the GStreamer.
Okay.
We just removed the Kaio support from it.
No, we've removed the GStreamer engine, at least for now.
Oh. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Of course. I thought I'd come back again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I never use that anyway, so...
Because you only use one MIDI engine at a time, so there's no... Really, if there's a MIDI engine that at least for Amarok is more buggy and doesn't have as many features, it's really no point for it to be there.
It's just a support right now burden, really. That's the problem. Because yeah. We have... we have a lot of support to deal with, and we're always happy to deal with support issues, but if it's too much of a support burden, then we have to remove it, which is why the GStream one went, despite the fact I had a lot of users. That's why we lost quite a few of the engines now.
Yeah, and we actually in fact have a lot less bugs related to engines now that we just have Helix and Zine.
I think removing the Arts engine was the one that was hardest for people to deal with. There was a lot of upset people about that.
Well, I figure you remove all but the Arts engine.
We haven't actually fixed any of the bugs in it for several versions, and
I think
that's gone.
KDE's even removing that.
The main one there, and there's the Helix one.
KDE's even removing the Arts.
Yeah,
for 4.
Arts hasn't been very good for a long time. Because it's just, it lost the person who was maintaining the code, and as a result, it got stuck, stagnant, and full of, well, the bugs never got fixed. So I think it had the potential to be very good, it's just bad luck, really.
Which is really the part of the reason, big reason for Phonon, is we're not going to make that, KDE decided they're not going to make that mistake again. And so this is like a framework to support GStreamer or Zine or whatever. To not be tied to any one audio system.
You had brought this up before, but what exactly is Dynamic Collection and what's so great about it?
Well, we hope to extend its features in the future, in the near future. But for right now, what it means is like users to use NFS shares. If their NFS share goes offline, they unmount it. But then when they mount it again, they have to rescan all that music again, which over NFS can be really slow. So what the Dynamic Collection does is it recognizes where it uses some techniques to identify the partition, and when it sees that partition again, it just adds those songs in the database already into the collection, visible to the user. And then it hides it when the NFS partition is unmounted.
So it's essentially for, removable storage, where your music may be stored on removable storage, the volatility or possible volatility of that connectivity in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a bit of a marketing mistake calling it something else, frankly. I think people expect the collection to be able to do that.
That's understandable. Well, why not, huh? They expect everything.
Exactly. I think Rhythmbox has been able to do it for a while, so we're behind on that.
Do you catch a lot of hell from people?
I think can do it.
Do you get a lot of nasty nasty emails when something like that doesn't work right?
We don't get that many. The most memorable email we ever received was from a Mr. Amarok Shadow from, I don't know, he was a native in American, and he was offended at our use of the word Amarok in the title of our product, and that we didn't attribute it to the native Inuit tongue, and instead attributed it to Mike Oldfield's album, and we had an exchange of emails about that, and couldn't persuade him that we were completely respectful to Inuits and all that, but we didn't not like him or anything. He was just very angry. Very angry. Didn't open a bug report about it.
Yeah. Don't you love it?
Then when we get an angry email, it'll be, "Oh, I really love Amarok, but this feature is horrible."
Yeah, people have become a lot nicer than they used to be, actually. On the mailing list. Maybe we scared them away or something. I mean, occasionally you get a nasty one, but you know, you just have to bite your tongue, because we want to hear about bug reports. We don't want to dissuade people. Sometimes it's hard and you lose your temper, but that's mainly on IRC. I'd like to reassure everyone I've lost my temper with in the past that I apologize. I didn't mean it.
Yeah, well, you have to remember the Penny Arcade greater theory of anonymous fuckwads.
I guess people mellow out a little bit when they realize that you guys aren't being paid for this.
Yeah, well, I think that's an argument that goes so far, really, because we still get a lot out of it. And I feel we do owe the users something, really. A lot of people say, you know, you can't... If you take the attitude where you don't owe anyone anything, you just end up with a crap product that no one wants to use and doesn't do anything anyone wants.
Yeah.
I think you have to take responsibility for what you've written.
And that's actually not totally true for me, since I'm working on a Google Summer of Code project, adding iTunes music pairing.
Yeah, well, we'll direct all the bug reports to you then.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely users are... you can't take them for granted.
Now, are you looking for any more developers or any kind of support on Amarok right now, or you guys have you guys well off with all that?
I think. I believe our documentation hasn't been updated in a while. The person who was working on that got... Actually, his house burned down and such. He's getting distracted. There's probably a lot of work that could be done with the documentation. I know also our website right now is kind of ugly. So if anyone... I've been kind of wanting to move to a Drupal site. And right now we use this, you know, the horrible Mambo system. So any artists out there who are web designers, if you don't hate web designing as much as I do, want to work on that.
So you're looking for web designers and documentation writers?
Yeah. Or, you know, as far as developers, people usually... if people see a need, people have the skill for development, they usually come forward and offer their patches and their time to do that. I don't think there's ever been really a call out for developers. Developers have always just kind of shown up. And
yeah, we're very lucky.
Yeah. I mean, we try really hard to help any new developers that come.
Because they need it.
Yeah, it's like Steve Ballmer says, right? Developers, 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 developers.
And then his head explodes.
Yeah, we get tons of people turning out giving patches, and a lot of them give another patch and then get more involved. And we've had quite a turnover of developers, really. Probably had maybe 30 or 35 overall active developments.
But we've gotten some really great new developers. Like Martin, who works on... He first came in and added the great feature of supporting M4A tags, which had been in demand forever.
Yeah.
and now he's supporting the iPod media device as well.
Yeah, he's doing some good stuff. He really is. I've been watching all his commits. And Seb, he turned off a couple of years ago, about a year and a half. He's great. He does some really good stuff. Now we start naming people. I suppose we have to name everyone.
Oh yeah, you're gonna get
hit. Yeah, what the heck?
I'll be like, well, why didn't you say anything about me? You forgot to mention my work.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just pretend that I cut out again.
I say, yeah, well, he did, but he didn't get his drop.
Oh well.
Now, what are you looking for as far as new team members coming in? I mean, for instance, is there a particular skill set for programmers that you're looking for?
Oh yeah, we always need new programmers, new blood.
Really, we only need you if you've got a good feature or something to offer.
Yeah.
Like, we have plenty of programmers who are there, but if you've got something new and great, we're not going to turn it away at all. We'll always give some good feedback and invite you to get an account and patch it yourself.
If you want to kill some hours, just look at our hundreds and hundreds of bug reports on KDE.org, bugs.kde.org.
Yeah, there's bug fixes are always welcome.
Down there.
We have a question on the IRC about ATF, the advanced tagging feature. And one of the questions is, what happens if you take a file, you transfer a file that's ATF'd on your system to somebody else's system? Does the ATF go with it?
What happens is that that the other AMROC will recognize that it already has an ATF, and it will just accept the new ATF tag, the new unique ID.
Oh, okay, so you don't lose.
It doesn't write the unique ID again.
Okay.
Or make a new one. And the way unique IDs are set up, though, you can't actually use unique IDs between different programs, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, because
anyways, in case people don't know, what ATF is the system that will allow AMROC to recognize a certain file, even if it's been moved, so that your statistics and because AMROC keeps track of your what you play and how long you play it, type of stuff, will be recognized.
If you move it or rename it,
yeah,
or anything really.
Now, with keeping track of that information, does AMROC also make suggestions? You know, like if you listen to this song, you may want to, you know, you may be interested in, this other song that may or may not be in your collection. Well probably not in your collection.
What we do is we query Last.fm, and all that's really doing is just taking your current artists and finding related artists. And actually, Muesli, one of the AMROC developers, works for Last.fm. He worked at Last.fm. He was working at AMROC before Last.fm. But he says there's actually 3 servers at Last.fm dedicated to responding to that request.
Jeez, really?
From AMROC users.
We get on with Last.fm really well. Like, we were one of the first media players to actually make any use of them at all. And Muesli got to know the developer there, and that's how he got the job.
That's nice.
And they've offered Seb work experience, apparently.
It's nice that they threw support to your to not only the people in your development team, but to the actual project itself. And speaking of
it, benefits them too.
Wasn't there some kind of a supposed deal going on between AMROC and Magnatunes or something like that a few months ago? It was being brought up about being able to purchase music off of Magnatunes through.
There was the AMROC Live CD, which was a live CD that included a bunch of songs from Magnatunes on it.
Oh, so there was no...
Right now it's kind of on hiatus as they work on the next version.
All right, yeah. So you're not going to have that capability, or is that planned in the future, capability of of getting music off of Magnatunes through Amarok?
Actually, someone wrote an actual, like, new browser, one of our sidebar things, that would actually, like, download the XML from Magnatunes and allow you to browse our whole collection from within Amarok. We can't really just include something like that, because it's kind of, it would be kind of too much UI.
Yeah, it's a major
overhead.
Piece, but it's certainly what we want in the future.
Yeah, it would be a good... We're looking at ways to improve the scripting support in Amarok 2.0, and or maybe even 2.1. I don't know if we'll get to everything we want to do for 2.0. And that would be kind
maybe if we start 1.9.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, certainly the way we see the future of Amarok is make it easy for you to find new music that you like and find more of what you like, and really it more than just something that you build a playlist and play some files that you have. We want you to be able to find new music, making use of services like Last.fm and Magnatune.
That's probably, in my opinion, the coolest new feature of 1.4 is our, I guess I'm biased, but it is the Last.fm streaming support. It's a really neat service Last.fm has. I've been building up my Last.fm profile for a few years, and so then when I played my personal stream, it was like all this music that I had played before or related to artists I had played. So it was actually a pretty neat mix of music I had heard and music that I hadn't.
Yeah, I listen to Last.fm every day, and it certainly enlarged the amount of music I know. And excellent service.
You guys have a really excellent project, and I gotta take a harder look at Amarok instead of just the quick 2 or 3 minutes I've actually spent with it in the past.
Well, yeah, I hope you do spend more than 2 or 3 minutes on it. I hope it suits you. If not, send us an email.
I think my problem is I don't really...
Dan is a minimalist. Yeah, don't be offended if he's not into it.
I don't keep music on my system, and that's probably my problem right there. And I really should start doing that more often.
Amarok, when it works, hello then.
Yeah, so when you don't...
Last.fm is perfect for you then, really, I would have thought. But then you can get the Last.fm player from Last.fm if you want a minimalist Last.fm solution. Works on Linux.
Well, I think I'll stick with the Amarok.
But with the Amarok, you can split out the player, right? You can have it set up so that you can use whatever player you want to use, correct?
Well, you can always just use Amarok out of the box, though. You don't need the Last.fm player to play Last.fm with Amarok.
That's not what you asked, is it?
No, what it is, you can, when you set it up initially, you can have it so that the player is integrated with Amarok, where you can have it broken out so that you can select different player, like XMMS, right?
No, not really.
No?
Because it's historical.
I think it might have something like that. I know that's what it does in Windows, anyways.
We're talking about Amarok, not Last.fm, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, not Last.fm. Yeah. I mean, not Amarok. Yeah. That wouldn't make any sense for Amarok to... these other players.
That was something we could always maybe offer in the future, an Amarok database thing, and then the other players can make use of it somehow. I don't know. It's what immediately came to my mind when I heard the question. I don't know, it's probably a useless idea.
So we're just supposed to have Amarok use Rhythm Box?
Going in my head, though.
Have Amarok use Rhythm Box?
Now, will Rhythm Box use Amarok?
There you go.
Now, well, I think what you mean is historically Amarok used to look a bit more like XMMS. It had like a small window with a visualization in it and like a label that scrolled and stuff. And we've been moving away from that ever since, really. because I think what Marky was originally doing when he made AMROC was just making XMMS, basically, but with a bit more usability, because you had that file browser on the side, so you could just drag and drop to your playlist. Also using KU widgets.
I mean,
so that's where it came from.
I've been developing AMROC since, like, 1.2, but I was using it since, like, 0.9. And what really got me into it was the fact that with XMMS, you had to open up that horrible file dialog and then add from, like, a different window. Whereas in AMROC, and we still have this, you can just go look in the file browser and add whatever you want. And, but, I mean, the motto of AMROC is rediscover your music. And actually, it's really done that for me since then by with the dynamic playlist.
Totally.
Where you just turn on the dynamic playlist and it just plays random tracks from your collection, which sounds kind of like dorky, but the music you have in your computer is actually the music you want to listen to, so it works very well.
Yeah. Indeed, I'm disgusted by how much Britney Spears I have in my solution. I never knew it was there, but AMROC helped me rediscover it.
There you go.
Guilty pleasure.
And on that note, actually, I hear that Billie Piper from Doctor Who is an AMROC fan. She was at Love Radio in the UK, and she was chatting with Jonathan Riddle. I don't know if he was just joking with me. But she had some pop songs.
What, you have a recollection?
I'm sure I do somewhere. That would be my brother's fault, though. My brother, he fancied her when he was 12 and he bought all her CDs. They somehow got on my computer.
Well, we gotta get closing up.
I guess ultimately...
Go ahead, Pat, I'm sorry.
I guess ultimately, what do you want to see AMROC, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now? Do you want to see it as the dominant media player, at least for audio and Linux?
Yeah, dominant. That'd be great. And on Windows and Mac and Linux and everything.
It would be nice if I could go to the pub and overhear someone talking about AMROC. That would be where I'd like the kids to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So currently it's certainly limited to the geek crowd. The Linux users.
I guess fame and fortune. We've been joking on for a while how we're going to include spyware with the Windows version. That's what Windows users are used to, so we might as well.
You gotta put a rootkit in there.
Yeah, that's good.
To be like the truth.
They'll be like, wow, this works just like every other media player. And it has pop-up messages that come in. That'd be good.
Free porn included.
Then you'd have to add the video capability into it. What you would need is...
Yeah, definitely.
You'd have to have video capability and flash capability so you can get all those flash pop-up ads. That would be awesome.
Could make us a fortune.
Yeah. There you go. I want to thank you guys for coming on. Cause
of course, the Linux version would be free of all that stuff.
There you go. And the OS X one, right? Because Pat loves OS X.
Yeah.
I hate Apple.
Oh, I've got a Mac as well. I've got one of each.
They're nice machines. I just hate the company.
Yeah, Apple did this really lame thing with the iTunes music sharing. With 4.5, they added this whole hash thing that, with the explicit idea, I guess, to stop other players from doing it. But, of course, someone already figured out how to get around it. It's kind of like this almost DRM, like it's an MD5, but like slightly different.
Really?
It's really weird. Yeah.
Can't trust those proprietary companies.
Yeah.
It's like getting streaming to the Xbox. You have to have it's meant to be UPnP, but you have to slightly customize it to make it work. I don't know if that was intentional or not on Microsoft's behalf. You have to have a slightly different header, and you have to name it Microsoft something or other. So we have to pretend that this Linux thing is a Microsoft product.
Well, their company is built on interoperability these days. So,
yeah, Apple definitely.
And Microsoft, a world of devices that work and interoperate with one another. Isn't that their ad campaign these days? No, that's right, a world of devices that run Windows. My mistake.
Yeah, but Microsoft isn't quite as bad. I mean, Apple, they, the whole point of iTunes is to push their players, and so they don't allow, you know, basically DRM is not really so much for protecting artists, if it ever was. It was for protecting iPod market share. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, they're using Unix, and they're using mostly open, well, at least standards for, they don't reinvent things like Microsoft have historically. I think Microsoft are a lot better nowadays, frankly. They seem to be slowly changing in attitude.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in a year when Amarok is the number one media player in the world.
Yeah. Well, okay. If we don't lose our step, we'll try not to.
As long as Rhythmbox doesn't overtake you.
I think Banshee's the one to look for. Oh, watch Banshee. Out for, even. I tried it. It's got some nice little touches.
Which one?
Banshee.
Oh, it's
the Banshee, one
running
on Mono C Sharp.
Yeah. I'm kind of offended when people are using XMMS or Rhythmbox, but Banshee I can kind of understand. It's a decent-looking player.
It's a bit of an iTunes clone, though, frankly.
Yeah, like, it is an iTunes clone.
They could do with, like, trying to differentiate themselves a little bit, I reckon.
Now, see, once again, I fired up Banshee and promptly closed it. I mean, it just, I don't know. It annoyed me too much. Maybe because it looks too much like iTunes, and I hate iTunes. But that was... What's your impression?
What about Nomap, which to me just looks forward?
What about Beep Media Player? What do you think of that one?
Banshee?
No, Beep.
Isn't I haven't tried it in years. Thing? I'll install it now.
Yeah, that's what I think XMMS
so
morphed into.
People on the chat are asking what's wrong with XMMS.
There's nothing wrong with XMMS, but...
It hasn't been developed in like 5 years.
For those of us who don't like GTK 1.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even have anti-aliased fonts for GTK 1, can you?
I don't think so. But, you know, that's what Beep Media Player...
I mean, it's like competing with a dinosaur or something.
Yeah. The thing about XMMS is the way it just doesn't have any bugs at all anymore. It's an unbelievably reliable solution.
Well, I want to go that.
It's a shame it's
I know,
ugly.
I know Gentoo has like 14 patches for XMMS.
Really? You know what?
Yeah.
I actually have problems.
Tried to put them upstream.
I have problems with XMMS these days. That if I try and play an MP3 file and then follow it with an AUG file, it locks up on me. And sometimes it doesn't like to play streams.
Really?
So, I don't use it anymore. I use Beep if I want to play something quickly. Or the venerable MPG-123 or AUG-123. Can't go wrong with those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I
used to
use that.
I still use it. No, it's one of the reasons we were considering making our work have, like, 2 bits so you could... If you exit X, you can still have your music playing, but there's a lot of technical issues surrounding that, and I don't think it will ever happen, but it is nice sometimes just to have the music running and be able to switch between X and consoles and not worry about things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, aren't you Mac planning to eventually make some sort of simple music player?
Yeah. I've started writing it, actually. I called it 5 Miles Out, which is another Mike Oldfield album. Name may change.
And what's that for?
But yeah, I was making a simple one for people who like XMMS but want something with KDE.
Ah, oh, okay.
It's a heavily modified Amarok code.
KDE has like a they have like a really generic music player, don't they? Built in
iTunes.
What was that? No, is that? I thought there was something even more basic than that.
No, it's
actually
it.
Yeah, you're talking about Caboodle.
A Caboodle, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
It never really worked well for me.
It's not very good. In fact, I'm basically planning to replace that with my simple video player solution, because my simple video player solution also plays audio fine, and I'll just tweak it a little bit. I think I've been dropped.
Yeah.
No, I haven't been dropped. Okay.
No, you weren't dropped. Pat was dropped.
For KD4, anyway. I'm drafting an email as we speak for proposal to the KD multimedia list about it.
Ooh.
No, it wasn't me.
Yes.
Wow.
Because well, Max has this great video player, the one I use, Codeine. And, yeah, I think everyone should really go check it out, because it's just has play and pause, and I add the power button to it so I can just close it easy. But you don't need anything else, you know. And it has lots of nice little features, like if you close the video player and open it back up, it'll resume from that point.
That's a nice feature. That's always nice. That is nice. I have a GP2X, which is a Linux handheld game device, multimedia device, and that's the one thing I wish they would have in the media player on there, is that when you turn it off, if you turn it back on again, it doesn't resume play on the audio player, but it will resume play on the video player, but not the audio for some reason. And that is always a nice feature.
Yeah, someone, we actually have a new developer from India who developed one of the media devices. And he's been looking into making a bookmark system for Amarok.
That's a good idea. My video player remembers where you were for all the different stuff you play.
And that's the video player you wrote or you're working on?
Codeine.
Oh, Codeine.
No, I wrote it. It's already at version 1.1. Remembers where you were and all sorts of other things. I tried to make it clever rather than full of buttons. No one's corrected me, so I hope I succeeded.
So is Codeine, is that going to be your replacement for Caffeine? Or, wait, what is it? What is the KDE video player? Caffeine, isn't it?
Well, it'd be Caboodle.
Or Caboodle, too.
No, well, Caffeine's an extra gears app like Amarok.
Uh-huh.
So it's not really bundled with KDE. The KDE video player would be Caboodle, because that's just the generic solution. No attempt can do video too, I think. Can it? But I don't think most people would end up using it like that. I don't know, to be honest, the last time I used the generic KDE stuff was ages ago. But yeah, I'll be pushing for it to be the next KDE tool that's bundled with KDE. I've already discussed it with a few multimedia people, and they think it's a reasonable idea. So I'll see how they react.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I want to thank you guys for coming on tonight. We got to close up because we got
to
get off the bin ref. We got to get off the bin ref stream because the next person comes.
Thank
come
you
on.
For having us.
I appreciate it. I apologize for all the problems that we had in the beginning, and I wish we had had you on a little bit longer because you guys are doing a great job and a wonderful project, and it's a very popular project. And hope.
Oh, thanks so much.
And hopefully,
I had a really good time.
Thank you. And hopefully when the next version of Amarok's coming out, 2.0 or close to it, we can have you back on to talk about it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I want to thank you guys, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Bye. There we go. That was Max and Ian from the Amarok project. And we are just about out of time, but before we go, I got two things that I want to play. Is a comment, another comment about Experts Exchange from a listener, and if I can get my player actually working, we would go. All right. We have a comment. Actually, I'll just... We have a comment about Experts Exchange. And let me bring that up, and we'll play that first. I'm really killing the show tonight. We had some problems with our Asterisk box, which was causing a hell of a lot of problems with the network in general, and didn't figure that out until about an hour or 45 minutes into it, because I was under the assumption it was one of the services running on the server and maybe the Icecast, and every time you start up the Icecast, the bandwidth would go straight through the roof, and then I'd shut down the Icecast, and then I noticed that it seemed to be doing it with the web server, but it turned out in the end to be our wonderful Asterisk server for some reason, which is weird. But hopefully we'll get that worked out soon. But here's our comment, and we're going to follow it up with a music file that was sent to us from another listener. We appreciate all the listener contribution. So, send us your file, send us your audio files, or whatever. Without further ado, here we go.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm from Swansea in Wales. I just thought I'd contact you regarding the Experts Exchange discussion you had on episode 150. Two comments, really. The first one is regarding why they've hidden the payment, and I would assume that they've hidden the fact that you don't have to pay to join, so that people do actually pay to join. So if people search for an answer on Experts Exchange and get told that they need to log in to answer, find the answer, and then they have to pay to see it, then they're going to do it, because basically they need the answer. But if they were to actually go on and it says, by the way, you don't need to pay to see this answer, who's going to pay? And secondly, it's regarding actually getting to see all the answers for free without having to sign up or anything. What you do is when you go to the page and you find the answers that you want, it tells you to log in to answer, but all you need to do is clear the temporary internet files, mainly the cookies. Because with the look of things, it puts a cookie on there to say that you've actually visited the page once and hides the answers. As soon as you clear the cookies, hit refresh on the page and the answers are displayed. Simple. Anyway, I'd like to take this opportunity as well just to mention a web page that I'm starting. The address is www.tuxtorials.com, and I'm hoping to build up a collection of tutorials to help people through Linux as beginners, because I'm basically starting on Linux. I've been using it now for about 6 months. I'm on Fedora Core 5, and anything help and advice I find online for myself, I'm going to make it a little tutorials with screenshots and put up there. I'm also starting a podcast, which is at www.tuxtorials.com/podcast, and although I've only done 2 episodes and one was due out 2 weeks ago, I'm actually working on it now, but I am pretty busy with other things as well and looking for a job basically. But anyway, hope that helps everybody, and who knows, I may speak to you again soon. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
Yeah. Oh, it's over. It's over. It's over when I disconnect BinRev. Got too much going on. And it's hot as hell here. Happy days, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for struggling with us through the troubles. A lot of people who are catching the podcast have no idea what went on tonight. It was horrible. But that's the way it goes. Thank you. And good night. Yeah. Oh. And here... Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hold on a second. Let me get Link in here, too.
I feel really bad. Those guys didn't even come on.
Yeah, hold on. Who, Link and Alan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I apologize for that. It's not that I didn't want to bring them on. It's all that crap that was going on. Is Alan still around?
I think he jumped off. Let me see. Yeah, he's gone.
Hey there, sweet Hello. Cheeks. Sorry about that.
Hey, Link.
What's up?
You know what I've been noticing? And I don't know if you noticed this too, but when the Asterisk server, right before I reinstalled it, I saw that there seemed to be like... Somebody seemed to be trying to make outside connections to it.
You think someone's trying to hack us?
I don't know. And this time around, when I was looking at the TCP dump, I was seeing a lot of connections going into the asterisks from an RCN cable modem and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's Alan trying to get in.
But that's what was really sucking up the bandwidth there. And I thought it was the IceCast servers doing it.
Now, Link, you're on RCN too, aren't you?
Yep, I am.
And I'm going RCN at the end of the week.
But I noticed that before when I was watching the full log of the IRC, it seemed to be like somebody kept trying to come in on it. Or it was like somebody was trying to connect to it. It's weird. So yeah, you might want to keep an eye on yours, and.
We should definitely test that out before next time.
Yeah, I'll bring it up and keep an eye on it sometime this week.
I wonder if it's. Did you restart it?
No, I tried to, but it still wasn't.
I wonder if Alan didn't have his. I know he was trying to connect to it earlier. I wonder if he didn't have his client recurrently trying to connect to it and just didn't notice and forgot to shut his client off or something.
The bastard. It's Alan's fault.
You're just saying it because he's not here to defend himself.
That's it. I would. But, yeah, after I sent out that email today, I fired up the air conditioner in this room, and it cooled off a tad bit, but it's still a nice balmy atmosphere in here.
Yeah, it's probably not better here, not much better anyway. It's got to be in the high 70s in my house, and I have all my air conditioners just absolutely cranked.
Oh. It's been a hot one this past couple of days.
It's evil.
In the apartment, we have central air in the apartment, and it's
so much better.
It's weird. I mean, you go in there, you walk through the door, and it's like, oh my god, it's Arctic chill in here, right? But after you're in there for like 10, 15 minutes, you get used to it, and all of a sudden you start getting a little warm again.
Okay. You know what's nice about central air now, besides the fact that it's nice and cool? Your electric bill is about a third of what the regular air conditioners are.
Yeah. You know who's really suffering? My cats, man.
Oh, jeez.
They are suffering. Like, I didn't see my cat for 2 days. I got concerned he died or something, my cats.
Oh, Jesus.
And, you know, I'm sitting out there calling them for like an hour, and finally one of them comes out from the bushes and lumbers across the neighbor's lawn and just, like, hobbles up the steps and
mad.
And the other one I didn't see till the sun went down.
Smart cat.
Yeah. Holy moly. I think it's supposed to break, though, the heat wave.
Yeah, by Friday, I think.
It'll drop down into the 80s. Woo! By Friday, that's 2 days from now. Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, lug meeting next week. You guys going to show up?
I'm going to try to be there.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, that means neither of you will show up, right?
No, I'd like to come.
Well, I gotta get up there and set some stuff straight anyway, because you're not going to be there to babysit these people anymore, so.
So anything you guys want to say before we call it quits?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you for your patience today.
Yeah. Dan, at least you figured it out, man.
Took a little while. I should have fired up TC Dump right away.
Yeah. I have one little thing there before we go. People have asked about Twat Radio, asking why new episodes have been showing up. And it looks like Patrillo is not doing it anymore, and it looks like Lord Drakenblut's going to be taking over. I was just talking to him. So, we should be seeing some new episodes any day now.
Hey, I wonder what happened there with Patrillo. Did he just have to real life step in, or what?
Who knows? So, at least this shows that somebody's actually listening.
That's true. That is true.
It's good to know.
Yeah, I popped on the Infonomicon IRC this afternoon, and they were bringing it up on there, and that's when I think they said that Lord Draken, whatever his name, Drakenblut, what is his name?
Drakenblut
was going to be taking it over. Good stuff.
Yep.
But all I know is I got mine up there on time.
Me too, man.
It was like 11 o'clock, and I'm like, oh crap, I gotta do a twat for tomorrow.
Yeah, you're sending me reminders.
Yeah, they sent you a reminder?
Yeah, you sent me a reminder.
Oh yeah, I sent you a reminder, that's right. And then I gotta wait and look forward to listening to yours.
Yeah, it's actually absolutely nothing technical. It's basically what to do when you're burnt out on technology. Take a break.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for bearing with it tonight. Next week it won't be as bad.
Hopefully.
Start on time. All right. I'll talk to you this week. And thank you. Have a good one. And you too, Pat.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, Alan.
Good night, Alan.
I'm gonna pour a little grape soda out for my dead homie, Alan. I'll see you later, Pat.
Good night.
Good night. Bye. Ooh. And them's the breaks. Oh, he's hot. Nighty-night.